Our reading this evening from John's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 15 to 19. Just to set the scene, this is after Jesus had risen from the dead and he's on the seashore. The disciples have been fishing. Jesus is there having a barbecue with some fish and he invites them for breakfast. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then Jesus said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Alan. I'm going to pray as I start speaking. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us tonight as we think about this passage and how it calls us to have a mission of love. Amen. So I want to start this morning, this evening even, by talking to you about podiums. Did you know that every Conservative Prime Minister has their own podium and it's meant to sort of represent something about them? Theresa May's was apparently more feminine. Boris Johnson's was the only one with a two-tier bottom to it. I've got a picture, actually, to show you so you can see the comparison of all the podiums. So I was obsessed on Wednesday or Tuesday. It was Tuesday, wasn't it? What would Rishi's podium look like? Apparently, this is not his final podium, as there was not enough time for his podium to be designed and made. So when we see him next, maybe he will have a new podium, and you will know that I will have opinions, and feel free to talk to me about it. So as Rishi stood behind his podium, I thought he chose a sort of professional, stern, angular podium. There were lots of questions about what he would say. What would he promise? What would he say about what had happened in recent weeks and months? What would he comment on? And one sentence stood out to me. "I will unite our country, not with words, but with actions." At that moment, he felt that our country, and I hope I can say without controversy, also his party, was deeply divided. And he felt that words of unity would not be enough. Well, tonight, we will be thinking about the relationship between words and actions from the perspective of us as a Christian community as we seek to have a mission of love. We have been having a sermon series for the last 3 weeks about love. We look first at a God of love, then a gospel of love. Last week, Keith spoke about a community of love, and he used that wish of the early Christian writer Tertullian that people would look at the community and say, "See how they love one another." We love one another because God has poured his love into our lives through the death of Jesus, a love from God who is the source and origin of real and pure love. 1 John 4:19. We love because God first loved us. And we're called to love one another as brothers and sisters. But this is not the end to our calling of love. Because it's not that there are as many Christians as there should ever be, that we are a cult and we've closed the doors because this is all the Christians who will ever believe in Jesus. We have a calling from God, a missional calling to go out and to share that love with other people. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Christ's love compels us to do this. It is Christ's love that is the reason we want to share our faith with others. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. I was speaking to someone on Monday, and he was saying to me, when we play squash together, he's much better than me, and he was saying, I'm not a Christian. I think being a Christian is just like being a member of a sports club. We come here every Monday and we play this game together and we want to get better and we talk about the game and you go to church and you're a Christian. And it really made me think, do I agree with him? Do I think that being a Christian is just like being a member of a sports club? And I said to my colleagues on Tuesday, I just don't. Because being a Christian is about caring about the eternal destiny of the entire world. It's about following the perfect man who ever lived. There are some great players at my squash club, but I'm not trying to become like them. I don't think about squash every day of my life. I think about Jesus every day of my life. I don't want all my friends to start playing squash with me. I want all my friends to know Jesus, because then we can be in heaven forever together worshiping him. That's the Christian community that we are a part of, that Christ's love compels us to want to invite other people into. But what shape should this mission we have, this mission of love, take? Because it's not just actions and it's not just words. We need to have both together. Sometimes people use the phrase, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. But I don't think I agree with that at all. Because words are necessary. If we are sharing a gospel of love with one another, with other people, and we're telling them, and we're showing them love, if we're behaving in a really loving way, but we never explain what it is that we believe, we never actually show them Jesus in Scripture, we never invite them to come to church, we hope that just by us being really lovely people, they're gonna call Jesus their Lord, then we're doing them a disservice, aren't we? Well, what about if we are sharing with our words and we're telling people what it is that we believe, but they look in our lives and they say, but you're not very nice. You say not very nice things about the people in your church. I don't think you actually really love them. It doesn't match up, does it? If we're loving people, we have to be living that out with one another in an authentic way that people can see. But we also have to be being really clear in the way that we explain our faith to other people. And I think this passage from John really explains this with great clarity, why it is that words and actions are a part of our mission of love. So I want to talk first, before I get into this passage in John, about the context of our passage. As Alan said, it's a breakfast encounter, and it's the last time the disciples will spend time with Jesus. These are his parting words to them, his apostolic commissioning to them of how he wants them to continue in his work. And just before, they've been in the boats fishing, and Jesus has called out to them and told them where they should place their nets. Now, that is very similar to the first time when Jesus met Peter and they hadn't caught anything all night, and he tells them to put down the nets, and they end up with so many fish, the nets break. And Jesus said to Peter, "From now on, you will be a fisher of men." So that's the beginning of Jesus's walk with Peter, and this is the end of Jesus's walk with Peter. And they sit down around the fire, and they're sharing this meal with each other. And the first thing that Jesus asks Peter to do is to reaffirm his love for him three times. Why is that? It's because the last time Peter denied Jesus three times, after he saw Jesus being arrested on Maundy Thursday, he goes around and he says three times that he doesn't know who Jesus is. So Jesus asks Peter to affirm the love that he has for him. And after he has done this, he gives him a specific charge. Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. And I want to talk about them in a moment. But before I get to that, I want to think about the fact that Peter's mission is centered on love. It's not pouring out from Peter. The first thing that Jesus asks Peter is, "Do you love me? Do you love God?" Before Jesus gives him his instructions, he wants Peter to affirm his true devotion to the Lord. We must love God first. We must know God. We must know the love that God has for us. Because when we do know that love, when we are clear on what it is that we believe, our mission will pour out from it. If we truly feel and can connect with the depth of forgiveness we have received from God, how excited will we be to share this with other people? How thrilled will we be to give them the good news that we believe? How can we know this love? We can know it by having a deep and clear understanding of our faith. The more we know and understand the depth of the love poured out for us, the more we will love God for loving us, and the more we will love others and be able to fulfill the mission God has given for us. And I think that means we have to have a deep connection with the love that God has for us. But I think that that will be different for each one of us. Some of us will have a favorite song, a favorite worship song, which we can really listen to in order to soak in God's love. A few years ago, I favorited on Spotify, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," and it came up when I was driving the other day. And the thing that I always really sense God's love when I hear it is the verse, his words will not fail you. He promised. And I think for me, hearing that song and hearing those words will be one of my deepest connections with God for the rest of my life, knowing that other people who we can depend upon will let us down in many ways, but Jesus never will because he promised us. Maybe you have a song like that that allows you to connect into God's love. Or maybe for you, it's reading scripture. Maybe it's reading and praying and speaking aloud or writing down in a journal the words that you know God speaks into you about the love that he has for you. I really hope you know you are loved. Because I believe that knowing we are loved is like a diving board that we can stand on. And even though mission and sharing our faith can be really scary, it is so wonderful that we can't wait to dive off into the waters of mission. Knowing we are loved is the diving board into our mission. So let's think now about the two things that Jesus says to Peter. And I'm going to take the second one first. Take care of my sheep. Because there is a clear calling to the Christian to be people known for their love and care. We want to be a church that is the heartbeat of a community. We want to live a life individually which shines as a reflection of God's love. That begins here in church with the way that we relate to one another, something Keith spoke about last week. Being a community which is grace-filled, where we're quick to forgive one another, where we offer a warm welcome to anybody, where we become a family to each other, even when that's difficult. But missionally, this is not enough. We can't create a community in a church and then expect others to come to us. We need to be out there individually in our communities, in the place God has called us to be, in our families, in our workplaces, in our clubs, in our schools, all the different places where we are encountering people, we can be out there showing God's love, radiating his love to everyone that we meet. This is the action I believe God is calling us into as a way of then opening up opportunities to speak prophetically to people about faith. And as people see our love, we pray that this will cause them to ask questions about why we love in the way that we do. What is the reason for the way that we care for others, for our generosity, for the way we speak well of other people, our way of living? Keith mentioned last week this quote from Tertullian, "See how they love one another." And he wrote it in the context of two epidemics. I've been reading this book, which I first read at university back in 2004. It's called The Rise of Christianity, How the Obscure Marginal Jesus Movement Became the Dominant Religious Force in the Western World. I've really enjoyed it. And I read a chapter this week about epidemics. Two epidemics hit the ancient world. One in the second and one in the third century. And then the second one of these, apparently 5,000 people died every day in the city of Rome. Imagine that. It's estimated that between 25% to 30% of the entire population died. And when I was reading that, I was remembering the deeply harrowing videos, news reports that we saw during COVID of countries that were overwhelmed with the dying, of mass graves. And the natural response to an epidemic, particularly one that caused such a high rate of mortality, would be to flee. But the remarkable response from the early Christians was they approached this period of illness as a time when they were called to put their love into action. Dionysius said, "Most of our brother Christians showed unbounded love and loyalty, never sparing themselves and thinking only of one another. Heedless of danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ." And what is incredible is even in this society, before medicine, before understanding illness, just giving water, offering food to those who couldn't feed themselves, dramatically increased the survival chances. Just by loving others, caring for them in their sickness, the Christians saved many lives. And this, in turn, led to conversions of those who were struck by the radical acts of this small community who believed in loving others. We are called to care for one another, for the world. We are called to be prophetic voices, speaking out for the vulnerable. We are called to show acts of radical love that draw attention to our faith, but this is not enough. This is not where our mission ends. We do not show our faith merely by loving others. We need to explain it. Jesus tells Peter twice, "Feed my lambs." It is not enough to show radical love, although it is a deep calling of us as a church. As well as radical love, we must speak radical truth. So we'll think now about how Jesus tells Peter to feed my sheep. I wonder if you can think of the most nourishing meal you've ever had. I had a really incredible meal when I went to Portugal a few weeks ago. Really tender steak, there was fondant potato, there was a bed of creamed cauliflower, and there was enough mushroom gravy to go with every mouthful. Well, we are called in our mission to feed people with the most nourishing food there is. To feed souls with the precious food of God's word. To supply them with the bread of life which leads to eternal life and which will never leave them empty. This is life-changing. A relationship with God, accepting his love and forgiveness which will lead them to eternity. That's why, although I could share all manner of delicious meals I've eaten in my life, this food trumps all of them. And in John 4, Jesus meets the Samaritan woman, and he offers her water which will lead to never being thirsty again, a water which will spring into eternal life. So to the outsider, who maybe we've shown great love to, and they've asked us to give a reason, or they've asked us to explain what it is that we believe, why it is that we are a Christian. We have to be clear about what we say. We cannot speak a truth about God that is not centered in Scripture. We cannot explain a God that is centered around what they want to hear. That's not loving. If we really love people, we tell them the truth. And if you've ever been in a relationship with someone, it will not have been a healthy one if you have not been able to be truthful to them about how you feel. It's not fair to lure someone into church with a promise of a permissive God who doesn't care about every aspect of their lives, who doesn't care about their sin and their need for repentance. We need to tell people clearly the call for repentance, the need for falling on our knees and declaring ourselves unclean, because this then leads us to eternal life, to to never being thirsty again. We believe the whole of Scripture is good news. We can't shuffle past the parts of Scripture which we think are uncomfortable. We can't say, oh, I don't really like the Old Testament, it's a bit difficult. We believe that all of the Bible teaches us about God's love. We believe that every verse in Scripture should be there. So we need to be able to explain this to other people, even when it's difficult, even when it feels like a truth that you don't want to say out loud. Because when Jesus met the Samaritan woman, he wasn't afraid to speak to her and acknowledge her number of husbands and the fact that she lived with someone she's not married to. Truth and love go hand in hand and must prompt us to care about how people are living their lives today and to care about their eternal destiny. That's why we've invited Ian Paul to come and speak to us next week, because we believe that what he will explain is good news. So that is for the person who we're having a chance to speak about our faith to. But also in our church, we need feeding. And we can feed one another. Our mission with one another is to help each other to grow and deepen our knowledge and understanding of faith. This will happen as we spend time in our connect groups, as we spend time in learning in church together, and as we spend time having communion. But part of this mission will also include speaking uncomfortable truths to one another, because we are called to be people who are walking alongside one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are called to get stuck into each other's lives, to walk with people, to pray with people, but also to be accountable to one another. And that means that we may have people in our lives where there is a special privilege that we can say uncomfortable things to them, and we can help them to grow as a Christian by speaking to them about what's happening in their lives. This isn't something that we do for everybody. I think this is a real privilege. A privilege maybe we get, a privilege we get in marriage, in family, and in special close friendships that are centered around walking closer to Jesus and wanting each other to become more and more like him. I had a friend, he's still my friend, but he sadly lives in New Zealand now with his family. He's called Mike. And sometimes, occasionally, I would say something when my mouth would open and words would come out that I maybe shouldn't have said out loud. And he would say to me, "Kate, I just need to tease you about the fact that you said this." And I'd say, "Mike, you don't need to say that it's teasing. I love that you love me enough to say this to me. I love that you love me enough that you want me to be more holy, and you want me, if I've said the wrong thing, to have the courage to go and speak to somebody and to apologize to them." By him doing that for me, I felt deeply loved because he cared about my character. And when this happens, we need to be able to hear it. And that is difficult. But when we hear these uncomfortable truths spoken to us by people who have that special privilege, we can remember that they are saying it to us because of how much they love us. And that is a beautiful thing. And I guess at the end of it, what it comes down to is, do you want to be a Jenga brick or do you want to be a stickle brick? And let me explain what I mean. I think in our lives, we have a choice. We can be people who live independently, who sort of get on with what's going on in our lives, but we're not connected to other people. And that maybe means that when we're going through a really difficult time, We don't have anyone to help us. And so everything falls apart. Or, I don't know, we don't have the people around us who love us, who care for us, who are there with us when things are hard. Or we can be people like this, who are deeply connected to one another, so that there is so much strength in our community. And that means when one of us is weak, another is strong, and we can support one another. So I really want to encourage you to think about yourselves as a stickle brick. To think about the ways in which you can be showing love to other people. Who are the people who are in your community that you can show love to? That you can get really stuck into walking alongside and showing them what it means to be a loving Christian. That's to the outsider, but also, who are the people who you allow to speak uncomfortable truths to you? Who are the people who, when they tell you something, maybe something you've done or something that's going on, or they share something from Scripture, you're willing to hear it? Who are the people who are surrounding you and offering this loving community to? I'm going to invite the band up now. We want to be invested in our community. We want to be invested in one another. We want to be courageous and willing to speak truth to one another because of how much we love one another. So I think from this passage from John, there are a few different ways in which God might be calling us to respond. There will be some of us here who might want to come forward for prayer because they just need to have prayer over them about how much God loves them. They need to hear that because it's hard to believe it, but this passage tells us it is true. We are loved and we are called to love God. That's the beginning of our mission, loving God and knowing his love for us. Maybe we want to come forward for prayer because we're really struggling to love somebody in our community. Or we want to be better at showing radical love to people in our community. Maybe we want prayer because we have some difficult truth to share with someone. And we need to pray and ask God for courage to do that. Maybe we need prayer because we don't feel we have the people in our lives that are around us that are helping us to stay fed, to stay walking closely with Jesus. So let me pray now as we stand before we begin a time of worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, God. We thank you that you love us. We thank you you've not left us on our own as we try and be missional and share our faith with others. Please help us to know the love that you have for us deeply in our hearts. Please help us to be people who show love to other people in radical and unexpected ways, even when it's difficult. And please give us the courage to speak truth into people's lives, to tell them what it means to know you, what it means to drink the water that leads to eternal life. And help us as we walk alongside each other, going closer to you and becoming more like you. Amen.